It's that time again. It is Wrestling with Theology, episode number 44. I am Pastor Doug Minton, here this week with the Apostolic Fathers as we look at 1 Clement chapter 14 through 19. As we finished up last month in 1 Clement, we had gone through the Roman Presbyter's Hall of Fame and the call to humility. Now we have in these chapters that humility continued to be broken out again, including references to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Let's look at chapter 14. Therefore, it is right and proper to us, men and brothers, to be obedient to God rather than to those who rule in arrogance and the unruliness of abominable jealousy, who set themselves up to be followed. We bring upon ourselves not common harm, but rather great peril, if recklessly we surrender ourselves to the desires of men, who launch themselves into strife and seditions, so that we might be estranged from what is right. Let us be good to ourselves according to the good compassion and sweetness of Him who made us. For it is written, the good will be dwellers in the land, and the innocent will be left on it, but those who transgress will be utterly destroyed on it. And again he says, see, the ungodly have been exalted and lifted up as the cedars of Lebanon. And I passed by, and behold, he was not. And I sought out his place, and I could not find. Keep innocence and see uprightness, because there is a remnant for the peaceable man. The Roman presbyters encouraged the Corinthian congregation to obey God rather than men, echoing Acts 5:29. This may bring great peril to the Christians when they go against the earthly authorities. This is extremely appropriate from the Roman presbyters, as they had just endured a great persecution. They had stood up against the emperor who persecuted them for their faith. In their stand, they followed St. Paul's words, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Ephesians 4, 32-5:1. Being imitators of God, we dwell in the land that He has given us. This is the promise given with the fourth commandment. Their encouragement continues into chapter 15. Therefore, let us cleave to those who practice peace with godliness, and not to those who desire peace with hypocrisy. For he says somewhere, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And again, with their mouth they bless. And again he says, they loved him with their mouth and their tongue lied to him, but their heart is not upright with him, nor were they steadfast in his covenant. On account of this, let the deceitful lips that speak iniquity against the righteous. And again, may the Lord destroy the deceitful lips, the tongue speaking proud things, even those who say, let us magnify our tongue, our lips are our own. Who is the Lord? From the misery of the poor and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in safety. I will deal boldly with him. The Roman presbyters continue their encouragement, encouraging the congregation to cleave to those who truly want peace. These are the deposed presbyters who were forced from their offices because of their godliness. The headstrong and arrogant wanted peace in their hypocrisy. They were like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. Isaiah 29:13, Matthew 15:8-9, Mark 7:6-8, and also looking back to Psalm 78:36. The headstrong and arrogant party spoke the proper words. They were great with lip service, but their devotion was shallow, even transparent. The epistle is written in order to encourage the congregation to continue to follow those whose service comes from the heart, not shallow and transparent, but deep and translucent. Transparency typically seems better than translucency, but the translucence of proper worship and devotion is seeing service through Christ's blood. Our person and our works are not seen. It is Christ and His work that is seen through the sheen of His shed blood. Now we move into chapter 16, where we have that great, not only connection to Isaiah 53, but also a quotation of the bulk of that great chapter. The Roman presbyters write, for Christ is with those who are lowly of mind, not with those who exalt themselves over His flock. the scepter of God's majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, although able, but being lowly in mind, just as the Holy Spirit spoke concerning him. For he said, Lord, who has believed our report? And has the Lord's arm been bared? We have announced before him as children, as a root in a thirsty land. There is no form in him nor glory, and we have seen him. He had no form nor comeliness. His form was dishonorable, and he was left out of the form of men. A man wounded in knowing how to bear iniquity and pain, because his face is turned away. He was dishonored and was held in no account. He bore our sins for our sakes, and we considered him to be in toil, stripes, and affliction. He was traumatized for our sins and wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace is on him. By his bruises we are healed. All the sheep have gone astray. A man has gone astray in his own way. And the Lord handed him over for our sins. And through the affliction he did not open his mouth. As a sheep led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. His judgment was taken away in his humiliation. Who will declare his generation? Because his life is taken away from the earth. On account of the lawlessness of my people, he came into death. I will give the evildoers for his burial and the rich for his death. Because he did no lawlessness, nor was there found deceit in his mouth. The Lord desires to cleanse him of his stripes. If you offer concerning sin, your soul will see living offspring. And the Lord desires to take away from the toil of his soul, to show him light and to form him with understanding. A righteous man, a good servant of many, and he will bear their sins. On account of this, he will inherit many, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because his soul was handed over to death, and he was counted among the transgressors. And he bore the sins of many, and he was handed over on account of their sins. And again he said, But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and an outcast of people. All those who see me have mocked me. They spoke with their lips, wagging their heads. He hoped on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him save him, for he desires him. See, beloved brothers, who is the pattern which has been given to us? For if the Lord was thus lowly in mind, what will we do who through him have come under the yoke of his grace? Again, that was difficult for me to read because I'm used to the way the Hebrew translates and we hear it every Good Friday. So coming from the Greek and keeping to what the Roman presbyters wrote, a little difficult. But in this chapter, the Roman presbyters continue to quote the scriptures for the Corinthians. And the bulk of the chapter is that suffering servant song from Isaiah 53. Keeping with the theme for the chapter, they immediately link Isaiah 53 with Psalm 22. The rejected servant is considered a worm and not a man. He has no form that we should regard him as he suffers on the cross. But it is that form that shapes our lives. Faith in his crucifixion and resurrection shape our lives under Jesus' easy yoke. Continuing on with the quotations and allusions, we get into chapter 17. Let us be imitators also, walking around in goatskins and sheepskins and preaching Christ's coming. Elijah and Elisha spoke, and also until Ezekiel to the prophets, to those also who have received a good report. Abraham witnessed greatness and was called God's friend, and he said in lowliness of mind, looking upon God's glory, But I am dust and ashes. And yet also concerning Job, thus it is written, And Job was righteous and blameless, true, God-fearing, holding back from all evil. But he accused himself, saying, No one is clean from filth, not even one day of his life. Moses was called faithful in his whole house, and through his ministry God judged Egypt through their plagues and torments. But he who was greatly glorified spoke not proud words, but said when an oracle was given him out of the bush, Who am I that you send me? But I am feeble of speech and slow in tongue. And again he said, But I am smoke from the pot. Christ's yoke was over the Old Testament saints as well. His yoke always rests on the humble. Some of the most humble saints in the Old Testament were Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Abraham, Job, and Moses. In their humility, they all wondered why Almighty God would come to them with his word, as seen in Genesis 18:27, Job 14:4-6, Exodus 3:11 and 4:10, Numbers 12:7 and Hebrews 3:2. God's word still glorifies the humble. The Roman presbyters admonished the headstrong and arrogant party because they refused to value the virtue of humility. We've seen what happens for the humble as we've dug deeper into the book of Exodus, as we continue to go through and get ready for God to come with the 10th plague and pass through the land of Egypt, killing the firstborn. Where are the Israelites? Humbly in their houses, covered by the blood of the Lamb. There is humility. They were not headstrong and arrogant. They were humble and lowly in heart. Continuing on with the examples of humble saints in the Old Testament, we go into chapter 18. And what have we said upon David's witness, upon whom God said, I have found a man according to my heart, David the son of Jesse, in eternal mercy I have anointed him. But also he said to God, have mercy on me, O God, according to your great mercy, and according to the richness of your compassions, blot out my iniquity. Wash me even more from my lawlessness, which is always before me. Against you only have I sinned, and I have done the evil deeds before you. If it be possible for righteousness in your words, and for victory in your judgment. For behold, in lawlessness I have been brought forth, and in sin my mother conceived me. For behold, truly I was loved. The dark and hidden things of your wisdom you have given me. Sprinkle me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. The bones which have been humbled will rejoice. Turn your face from my sins, and all my lawlessness blot out. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in my innermost part. Cast me not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Hand over to me the joy of your salvation, and establish me with a free spirit. I will teach the lawless your ways, and the ungodly will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood, O God, the God of my salvation. My tongue will tell of your righteousness. Lord, open my mouth, and my tongue will declare your praise. Because if you desire a sacrifice, I would give it, but holocaust you do not enjoy. A sacrifice to God is a contrite spirit. A contrite and humble heart God will not despise. In the parade of God's humble saints, the Roman presbyters placed David first and foremost. He was a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13:14, but he was also a manifest sinner, as seen in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. While David's humility is praised, his humility is seen through his confession of his sinfulness in Psalm 51. A Christian who seeks to follow after God's heart must be willing to freely confess his or her sins, not only to God, but to one another, as said in James 5:16, and receive the gift of holy absolution instituted in John 20:22-23. So we move into chapter 19, again with the humility and the submissiveness being spoken of again. Therefore, the humility and the submissiveness of so many and such great men, having been witnessed through obedience, not only in our time, but also those who were born before us, are made better. They have received his words in fear and truth. Therefore, having been made partakers of many great and glorious acts, let us hasten on to what has been handed down to us from the beginning, the goal of peace. Let us fix our eyes on the Father and Creator of the entire universe, and let us cleave to his splendid and exceeding gifts of peace and good works. Let us see him in the mind, and let us look with the eyes of our souls to his long-suffering will. Let us think how he is without anger toward all his creatures. Humility and submission are related to God's long-suffering. Christians are humble and submissive because they have the example of God's long-suffering. Long-suffering begins in the Septuagint as a translation of the Hebrew for to delay the outbreak of his wrath. God shows his long-suffering in that he doesn't destroy us for our sins. He grants us the opportunity for repentance. This is the Roman presbyter's goal in writing this epistle. The repentance of the headstrong and arrogant party, and a restoration of peace in the congregation. As God is without anger with his creatures over their sins through Christ, Christians should not be angry with each other, but offer one another forgiveness. Made it through the first 19 chapters of the Epistle of First Clement. We move into chapter 20 next month with a few other ideas that take into account also some Greek philosophy. But we will leave that off. I wanted to have this chunk here for the humility and the submission all together so that we see that all as one unit. But until next time, this is Pastor Doug Minton asking for God's rich blessings upon you as you wrestle with theology.